What a glorious morning. I slept through the alarm clock. I don't know about you. Today's Wednesday, July the 11th. This is over the hump day. I realize how tired everyone is. That's why I wore this loud Hawaiian shirt, try to wake you up. And then Hal and Hal have put you back to sleep. So, thank you very much, fellas. That was very nice. If you could have done that last night down in Taft, I thought that the Metahoonies were having a hula convention above me, okay? Better known as Tom Brody and Sharon Sikora. Some of you have told me some beautiful stories about the corn that you have shared and that you have used permission and that you've extended out on the grounds. And some folks here have been feeding the raccoons just fine. I was looking at these flowers here, and they are not artificial flowers. They are real flowers. So if before you leave today, if you have some distilled water or some good water that's not contaminated, come and give them a little drink, okay? They're quite thirsty today. In Hawaii, there is a very special fish, and it's got a big, long, monstrous name. And my wife said that if I break this, I will be in grave trouble. But this is humu. And he or she is made out of coconut. And this is the state fish of Hawaii. And my wife is always trying to explain how to pronounce things correctly. So she gave me a special T-shirt. And on the T-shirt is the name. Can you share this with me? Can you say that together? It's humu, humu, nuku, nuku, apu'a'a. All right, you can't do that? Okay, well, let's see if you can try it. You ready? Humu, humu, nuku, nuku, apapua'aha. All right, I didn't pronounce it correctly. My wife can, and so can Veronica and Colleen, but I just wanted to share that with you today. Now, what it is the Hawaiian triggerfish is widely regarded as the state fish. In Hawaiian, humu humu means to fit pieces together, referring to its nesting habit, and that nuku nuku apapua means nose like a pig, nose like a pig. So, with that, I would share with you the opening words, which are from a book called Tales of the Night Rainbow. History, as anything else, is seen and understood by where a person stands on the mountain. All people climb the same mountain. The mountain, however, has many pathways, each with a different view. A person knows and understands only what he or she sees from their own pathway. And as they move, their view will change. Only when they reach the top of the mountain will they see and understand all the view of humankind. But who among us has reached the top of the mountain? Tomorrow, we too will see a different view. We have not finished growing.
people will find the way. Stand together, and people will find the way. Stand together, and people will find the way. People will find the way, I do believe. Reach out, and people will find the way.
As you're willing and able, please rise for the chalice lighting. Let's sing together.
May our chalice shine all through our lives. May our chalice shine all through our lives. May our chalice shine all through our lives. May our hearts be open. May our minds be still. May our truth be spoken. And may our lives fulfill this promise. This promise of peace, this promise of peace, this promise of peace, this promise of peace.
Please remain standing for our opening song.
Please realize that there's an extra verse, and it goes, I've got life like a rainbow, but we're going to sing all of those through.
Like a river.
love like an ocean. Like the raindrops. I mean, I've got pain like an arrow.
My good friend Lono had told me to read this book, and it's called Tales from the Night Rainbow, and I would recommend it to all of you. It's very much a book about the old-style religion of the Hawaiian people, especially on Molokai. And we lived in this little cottage at mile marker 16 and had this mile and a half of beach that was all ours 90% of the time. And as we read this book, we could feel the history that had taken place there over the past 2,800 years. And as I share, this is just from the very beginning of the book. And it talks about the night rainbow. There are many kinds of rainbows. The night, too, has rainbows. One, the encircling ring around the moon is only a weather sign. The other rainbow, which comes out at night, is called Napo Mokoli, and it is seen only by a few. It is the spirit rainbow, the rainbow that holds our ancestors. When it is seen, it is a great blessing from all of our family who have gone out of the flesh. Many healings take place at this time. For our spirit family knows our needs and tries to help us. They give us knowledge and they rekindle the light when it is weak. It is a time of unity, a time for family, a reawakening or renewal for those in the body. There is no greater blessing on earth than the blessing of the night rainbow. To get me started on my study of indigenous religions in Hawaii, my mentor Lono recommended this book that I just read to you from, and it was written by a husband and a wife team, Polly Jai Lee and Coco Willis, and it's called Tales from the Night Rainbow. Each night, after I read this wonderful book, I would wake up at about 3 o'clock in the morning without the aid of an alarm clock, and I would go outside under the stars and look for the night rainbow. It was highly conceivable because in March, the trade winds, they blow in from the east and they bring little weather patterns that produce small showers that end abruptly. And it was the time of the full moon. And truly, that light coming down and those little shivers of showers that came down, I looked for the night rainbow, but, you know, I couldn't find it in the sky. And finally, I realized it was in my heart. That moon, Hina, the mother of Molokai, was such a reassuring thing to think that my family, 6,000 miles away, were also connected. And that was an extra dimension. And I want you to think about all of the family that you've ever known or conceived of as we go a little deeper into the concept of the night rainbow. The nights were bright, and there were incredible amounts of stars. And I really do miss the telescopes. Where are they this year? But rainbows from moonbeams seemed entirely conceivable. And these night rainbows are not just for hyper-spiritual people, the mystics. Everyone has their own night rainbow, known by another name, the Amakua. The Amakua, a kind of pantheon of ancestors and of descendants. And they are the balcony people of your lives. When the congregational minister, Reverend Rex Hitchcock, came to Molokai in 1832 to convert those Hawaiians, he came to save their soul. What he did not realize was that they had three different souls. The soul of the physical life of the body that held all the records of the past. And then the mental soul of the present existence that was absorbing everything in their conscious realm. And then there was the Amakua, the embodiment, and we've heard that word a lot this week so far, the embodiment of all your ancestors from the cave woman and the cave man to when you were born. And now, you are in your place in history, and your Amakua includes all of your knowledge of your ancestors, your grandparents, your aunts and your uncles and your cousins, but it also includes your professors and your teachers, even your kindergarten teacher, your preschool teacher, and especially when you come to Summer Institute, your Amakua includes all 600 of the people that are here this week. But the thing that's really cool is it also includes your descendants, grandchildren that I don't even know about, great-grandchildren that I may never see, people who are my descendants even to the seventh generation. And you take that big swath of existence and realize that it hovers over you like a cloud. Hitchcock, the missionary, had no idea of the spirituality that he was stepping into. These Hawaiians, they honor their ancestors to the nth degree. They call them uncle and auntie, yes. But collectively, they are also known as the Kapuna. And every Friday in Molokai, at Hotel Molokai, the Kapuna, the aunties and the uncles, gather with their ukuleles, and they play, and they play, and they play. And they have these incredible loose-leaf notebooks of a repertoire, and they go through all of them. And the hotel gives to them special food to eat along the way, and drinks, of course, to kind of lubricate their lips. And it's just old-style Hawaii. It just comes alive, especially every Friday. They call it Aloha Friday, no work till Monday. Family is also held in highest regard. The ohana. Ohana means family. And that's what holds them all together. Reverend Hitchcock tried to save their soul, and the Hawaiians said, "Which one?" When he decided to build a church, he made the mistake of making the Hawaiians quarry, cut the stone of the coral from the ocean, and make it into building blocks to make his church. He did ask permission from the landowners, or at least the alihi, but the Hawaiians that were the workers, they knew that the coral was alive. And they knew that as they cut that coral, it would break holes and would let artificial avenues of water come into their lagoons. And it would break up the ecosystem, and there was something wrong with that. When the Catholic Father Damien came, who was sainted a few years ago because he had come from Belgium to care for the lepers at that incarcerated settlement at Kalapapa, which is really just a part of Molokai. He built churches of wood because he had been a carpenter. And this settled very well with the Hawaiians because they too had shelters of wood and of leaves from the tree. That book, The Tales from the Night Rainbow, is written from the perspective of the author's grandmother, Kaiohe Kami'ikua, who lived 115 years from 1816, before any missionaries came, until 1931. She lived her whole life on the east end of Molokai. Her family tree was memorized and verbally recited back to 800 in the Common Era. The family met yearly for the traditional family reunion, and the names of all of the ancestors were recited. My friend Lono is the Hal Walker of Molokai. He wrote a song that included all those ancestors, and they adopted him as a son into their clan. Every family clan has a manifestation in animal form. So the Amakua can have one particular animal symbol. And when members of the family see that symbol, they realize that the presence of their Amakua is right there, definitely with them. Now, this particular family, their manifestation or their totem is the mo'o. I told you about the mo'o on Monday, who resides in the pool at the base of that high waterfall way back into the mountain, the one that you had to offer a tea leaf to in order to go swimming, to have permission to swim in the pool. Well, the mo'o, and I think it's better if I read it to you. The mo'o dragon is very important to this family, as it is to all families of pre-Alihi times. Our mo'o is like the legendary Chinese dragon, with one exception. It is a representation of time. It begins in tomorrow, the dawn that has yet to come. The eyes of the dragon look for a star to fix upon, always searching for guidance for the family. The front feet of the dragon are not opio, the young children of the family, always restless, always changing positions, always in motion. The middle feet of the dragon are the parents, the ka makua, the solid force of the family, the providers of the food and the home, the ones who take care of the young. And then there are the hind feet of the dragon, na kapuna, the grandparents, the aunties, and the uncles. These are the stabilizers of anyone needing help. They are always full of aloha, always strong. And way behind the kapuna is the kaive, the bone or the ancestors who have passed out of the body. They help the family in ways beyond the physical realm, caring and protecting and guiding from the spiritual side of the rainbow. Each position is preparing for the next position, always moving on, always with the good of the family in mind. Each person is a small part of the whole, yet each part is integral and necessary for the whole to be complete. We are the mo'o, the dragon. Mary Kavina Pukui, a revered scholar of Hawaiian culture who died at age 91, explains the Amakua this way. As gods and relatives in one, they give strength when we are weak, warning when danger threatens, guidance in our bewilderment, inspiration in our arts. They are equally our judges, hearing our words and watching our actions, reprimanding us for error and punishing us for blatant offenses. The Na Amakua is the manifestation of your family's Amakua. And they can be other animals, such as sharks or owls. And they can be located in special places like rocks or waterfalls or mountains or other natural phenomenon. My mentor, Lono, he shared so much with my wife and I about Hawaiian spirituality. I already shared with you what he said about the church, but someone asked me to share that again. The old Hawaiian way was God, Akua, your higher power, however you address it as, gave life to everything, plants, clouds, grass, weeds, dirt, rocks, everything. So we wake up in church. We spend all day in church and went to bed in church. And when we dreamed, we in church, although we didn't attend church. And I think that word church is really loaded. And so we can put in there mosque or kiva or any other heiau perhaps. But all of existence is truly sacred. Molokai is commercially called the friendliest isle, but actually it is the most spiritual island. It has a pristine rainforest of numerous, and I'm talking about hundreds of plant species that are only found there in the whole world. And the blending of Gaia, and you know that Gaia is the respect for the earth, and the Hawaiians call the earth the aina, aina. The blending of the natural Gaia and the Amakua, that pantheon of ancestors and family and or ohana and your descendants, even for you youngsters, your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, are all profoundly drawn together. This is not a paradise without cancer. It is not a paradise without joblessness. Over 40% of the people there do not have a job. It is not a paradise without crime. And the tragedy of that for me is that they want so much to impress the tourists that there are no prisons in the Hawaiian Islands. They send all of their prisoners to a private enterprise incarceration dump in Arizona. And we know how well they take care of their prisoners. But with you, the Amakua, those who are gone out of the flesh, is yet to come. And you know, we are all in this together. One last thing before we leave this subject. I count all my mentors and all my friends and all my professors and everyone who has taught me along the way, because I am not here by pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. There were people who had to tie my shoes and tie my heart together many, many times. In my Amakua, there are also folks like Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and my Uncle Joe, that wonderful Jewish man who expressed to me that there was religion and love beyond the Christian model. Also, my departed relatives, and my mother was a born-again Christian, and she could not understand my journey, but she's still there. My mentor, Lono, also told me about ego. Ego is not ambition. Ego is when you are in a Hawaiian racing canoe far out on the ocean in a storm between islands and all the paddlers with you, and we're talking about 6 or 8 others, are exhausted and they're unconscious because of the exertion. And you feel the presence of your Amakua. And you draw from deep inside of yourself your ego that desires to bring the boat home and to save your friends, those exhausted fellow paddlers in the body. And then you feel that thrust of your humble ego. But you also feel the amakua like a sail over your boat. And with you paddling and steering in the amakua, you bring your friends into the safe harbor. What a joy. I want you to always look for the night rainbow. Your amakua is always, always, always never ending with you. Mahalo. I invite you to sing a wonderful song that binds together our amakua for us. It's called The Beauty of the Earth. So you have the amakua and you have the Gaia, and we're blending this incredibly with our voices for the beauty of the earth. I invite you to stand with me now. Thank you so much, Mahalo. Please be seated. Very quickly, I'd like to share with you our questions. And the first is, do plants smell, feel, see, taste, or hear? And the scientists have decided that they do all of the above except for hear. But very curiously, from the book What Do Plants Know, the little cilia inside of your ears, in the inner ear, that vibrate to help your nerves feel the sound, understand the sound, are the same little hairs that are the rootlets at the tips of the roots of plants. So we are alike. Please mull that over. The other one is, for the adults, if farms and ranches were to become the new schoolyards, offering lessons and hands-on experience in ecology, social culture, and agriculture? And our closing thoughts are from Richard Love, the author of The Last Child in the Woods, or No Child Left Inside. He says, park rangers are health care providers. They prescribe vitamin N for nature. Go on a nature walk once a day. Refills unlimited, expires never.
Green leaf, gray stone, red bench, blue sky, bright sun, purple hair, sparkly skin, O-S-I. Peeling, squealing, happy laughter ringing, oh wait, crying, someone needs a nap. The third grade class will deliver singing telegrams in exchange for a scholarship donation. And wouldn't it be great if we reported every evening that they raised more money than the day before? Let's do it. Please see Becky Haynes. Are you in here? Becky? There she is. Becky Haynes, a.k.a. Professor Dazzle Swift, or Laura McChrystal, to arrange. Bookstore announcement, Lynn Kilgore, if you are here when they are open this afternoon, please stop in there, and they need something from you. Don't forget this afternoon, 3:30 p.m., the SI Strategic Council, SISC, because we like making lots of letters, will take place in 215 Sam Mather. That's the Mather building directly outside of here in the Science Quad. Come and ask questions and learn more. Monte Carlo night, last night. How many of you spent a little money and did a little gambling? Did you have fun? Awesome, because they raised $332 for our scholarship fund. If you are having fun, which I think everyone is in some form, it's probably related to a workshop or two, and you may have ideas about workshops or two. Workshops or two, or one or seven. And I mention this now because we'll say keep in mind towards the end of the week we will have some proposal forms available for workshops for next summer, because you can always think about next summer. And the proposals will also be accepted online and are preferred online, so we'll make that available to everyone. Remember this evening, Vespers is at 7 p.m. It is led by our youth. That's the community Vespers here. It's earlier than the other evenings, and our youth program is leading Vespers tonight, so consider joining us. It's always one of the events of this week. It will not disappoint you. And if you hear from anyone or know of anyone who may have lost money in the Pierce Dining Hall, probably this morning, you should send them my way to let me know. And I think that's everything I have for you. It's time for us to move on to our next pieces. Thank you.